And as a result, you know, it was absolutely clear at that point that there was no authorization for the use of force.
Or absolutely not clear, because the point about 1441...
If it was not clear, then they certainly had no right to use force.
Well, no, that's not how it works, Geoffrey, as you perfectly well know.
That's the legal position.
Jump in there, John. I'd like to bring in Patrick Bond, who's waiting patiently there from the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you for joining us, Patrick. Respond to what you've been hearing so far.
Well, it's very, very good to be with you, because I fear there's quibbling underway by our British colleagues. If you're hearing me loud and clear, what I'd like to say is that this is really a matter more of politics and about the impressions that I think the world has now that Archbishop Desmond Tutu is able to stand up and say, to be seen with Tony Blair is disgusting. He's killed a million people with his belligerence. And indeed, these legal niceties, if I can just finish the sentence, the legal niceties are terribly unimportant unless you want to make the case, as many do here, that the ICC has a built-in bias. And it's a bias that will prosecute African and Balkan tyrants, maybe a few Asians, but that gives a free ride for British and US belligerents. Now, we've had a terrible situation. Mark Thatcher abused the law here, ran a little coup, and then ran away by giving some money out. We've had, just in the last couple of weeks, a London company, Lonmin, which Blair's predecessor called the unacceptable face of capitalism, hire the police force, basically, and kill 34 miners who weren't even on their land, just doing a wildcat strike. So I think what's interesting is the trending of Tutu and the plummeting of Blair's brand. And that's really what we in South Africa, I would assume most of my compatriots here would agree, is a very, very special outcome, even if Blair did get away without being arrested.
Toby's been shaking his head here. Go ahead, Toby.
Patrick, thank you. And I'd like to make it very clear that I hold the Archbishop in the highest possible esteem. I think that the notion that the ICC is somehow only going to be used to prosecute Africans and South Asians and potentially those from the Balkans, though clearly that's the special tribunals for Rwanda and Yugoslavia were set up that predate the ICC, I think is just fundamentally mistaken. The ICC, as it's set up in the Rome Statute, has got complementary jurisdiction, and it can only exercise its jurisdiction when a state is unwilling or unable to prosecute these crimes at home. So when we see the LRA being referred, and Joseph Kony is amongst the first indictees to the ICC, what we're seeing actually is a request at the request of the Ugandan government, who saw the justice system as unable in Uganda to take care of these. So I think actually it's very clear that it's not any kind of conspiracy against or opportunity for the West to continue unabated. In actual fact, it's about holding everybody to account. And
just a quick rebuttal, if I could. I mean, I agree with you. Look, the quibbling is for you chaps, but the political impressions that are being left, and especially in the wake of the African Union conference that was meant to be in Malawi a few weeks ago, where the new president, Joyce Banda, threw the whole event away. It had been planned for months and months, a huge financial hit to her. And she did it because of the impression that if she was going to allow the AU, there would be tyrants, especially from Sudan, who would have to be arrested for ICC. And whether or not there's an impression that's incorrect, it definitely, in a context of worsening North-South power, all the broken promises to Africa, especially from Gleneagles under Tony Blair, this is really about world power. And to have a little guy, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, stand up for the 99% against Tony Blair and humiliate him is truly wonderful.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And but I also agree with Toby that it is wrong and unfair to accuse the ICC of double standards and bias. It is unfortunate, and I agree that it would be much better if it looked as if the ICC was using its firepower against Western countries as well as those in Africa. That may come. We want it to come. This could be an opportunity at some future date, the one we're discussing. But, I mean, I think we should get back to the issue of prosecuting leaders for aggressive war. That is the point at which we started, and that is where the United Nations was set up virtually with, for the specific purpose of bringing an end to war and making it illegal to wage aggressive war is at the heart of the United Nations, and it's at the heart of what we in this country and every other country that subscribed to it has committed itself to. So to use the law to bring sanctions against those who wage aggressive war is very, very important indeed. This is not, I have no campaign against Tony Blair, and I think that he was aiming to do something which most people would applaud, the downfall of Saddam Hussein, a wicked tyrant. But the rule of law is vital in the modern world. It's our great gift in many ways to the world. And we've got to stand by it. And that, I think, is the message that we got from Desmond Tutu, a courageous, wonderful man.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to World Over Saying. We're talking about Archbishop Desmond Tutu's comments that Tony Blair and George Bush should be tried at the International Criminal Court over the war in Iraq. You can, of course, get involved by giving us a call. The number here is country code 44 20 31 62 42 42. Now, one article that has been retweeted tremendously throughout the day is by Giles Fraser in the Guardian here in the UK. One line from there has been, Tony Blair is not in the same moral category as Charles Taylor. The war in Iraq was not a systematic genocide or ethnic cleansing. Who'd like to pick up on that, Toby? Well,
you could draw that to the attention of Patrick Bond in South Africa, who seems to think that Rwanda, the genocide in Rwanda is equivalent to the attempts by the US-led coalition to enforce UN resolutions in Iraq. Perhaps he could enlighten us as to the difference, fairly the moral close. Difference yeah, between the two.
Look, there's a tremendous moral difference, but we're talking about tyrants. And Tony Blair, hand in hand
is
with
George W.
Bush. Is
Tony Blair
George
a tyrant,
w.
or is
Bush.
He against tyrants?
Oh, I'd say he's a tyrant because he's used lies.
Well, I think that's going too far.
Kill a million people. Well, you may okay, think that, but the pressure on the world.
Believe
is
what you
Blair
like, Patrick.
A terrible crime. If you don't believe me, try to check out the facts at the website that George Monbiot set up. It's called arrestblair.org.
No, thanks.
Now, you'll laugh that George isn't your favorite journalist, but it's a terrific piece of work to show that this is one of the worst crimes of against humanity.
I'd rather stick to the facts, Patrick. I mean, to suggest that a million people died in Iraq is offensive enough. I mean, it is bad enough.
Well, what does it matter how many? We know it was more than 100,000.
Sorry, let's do one at a time, gentlemen. Go ahead.
Of course it matters how many, but, I mean, to exaggerate it by a factor of 10 helps nobody. I mean, the case against the war in Iraq is strong enough without having to exaggerate. And to spray misinformation around.
Well, there's a journal of the American Medical Association that puts it at a million using demographic statistics. So I'd leave that there. That you're talking about genocidal activity. We had a case of this quite recently here with Thabo Mbeki denying AIDS medicines. Estimates 350,000 dead. And for that reason, we hope he's never going to have any international job. And that should be the job of you in Britain to say, Tony Blair lied. He should be off the international circuit. He should be paying repentance for this incredible crime.
Yeah, well, sorry, it's Toby Fenwick here. I mean, 2 points. Firstly, Giles Fraser is an old friend of mine. He was my priest in Putney before he took the job at St. Paul's and now obviously in South London. I mean, I think having spent some time working for the Rwanda War Crimes Tribunal in 2007, you know, genocide is a very specific crime. It is the attempt to destroy in whole or in part a group of people because of their ethnicity or potentially their sexual orientation or indeed of their politics. And that's clearly not what happened in Iraq. The fact that somewhere between 100,000 and a million Iraqis died, depending on which of the two John, it's not a question of facts. I mean,
going to know those facts, are we?
The American Medical Association's million figure is about, as I understand it, is excess deaths.
It's completely unreliable.
Well, and the Iraq body count is actual number of people whose bodies they've seen. Either way,
we know a very large number of people were killed as a result of the war.
correct. And
as an indirect result of the war.
Well, no, it was a direct and indirect result of the war.
An indirect result of the war.
No,
so they were almost all killed by fellow Iraqis in the disorder.
Well, I mean, John, to sit down and blame the Iraqis for killing other Iraqis seems a bit rich after you've started an illegal war to get them into that position.
Well, I don't describe it as
very
illegal war.
In South Africa with Lamins,
but equally,
well, that is the issue we should get back to. If this was an illegal war. And Mr. Blair was responsible for starting it, then is a war crime,
and there should be
a prosecution. That's putting it in very simple terms, but that is conclusive.
Jeffrey, why hasn't there been a prosecution in the past 9 years?
Well, because maybe people like you have been discouraging it, and a lot of people have been discouraging it.
I have that power. The Attorney General was extremely worried about the prospect of some kind of legal action.
He was.
Which is why he advised the government in the way he did. He turned out to be far too cautious, because not a single prosecution has even passed the first test of getting to the door of the court. And the reason it can't is because, as you perfectly well know, to describe the war as illegal is rhetoric and opinion rather than legal fact.
Well, John, you know, I'm sorry, it's Toby here again. You couldn't be more wrong on the basis of 1441. To sit down and suggest
that 1441 does not define law, the international law, does
it? Yes, it does. It's a Chapter 7 resolution of the Security Council.
It is vital because it raises the issue of whether the Security Council agreed to the war being started, which would have made it lawful.
The final opportunity to comply.
Exactly what it said.
When 15 nations, including Syria, on the Security Council, voted for that resolution, knowing that the United States, which was already poised to invade, would not accept any conditions, any further conditions.
And the
use of military force.
And the UK representative said quite clearly that the Security Council would have a further opportunity of deciding whether or not to authorise a war.
But it wasn't for the Security Council, individual member states of the Security Council, to decide. And as Sir Geoffrey has said, the issue is one of Greenstock said, going back to the Council. And, you know, frankly, if the Americans wanted to do something illegal under George Bush, that was their business. But the British government had an obligation to use force legally, and it didn't do that.
If it was in the view of the members of the Security Council that such an invasion would be illegal, why at that point did they not pass a resolution condemning the United States and suggesting that if it used military force against Saddam Hussein, that would be illegal?
That could have happened, but hindsight.
Let me just jump in there, because we have managed to get through to Mateen, who is in Kurdistan there in Iraq. Mateen, welcome to the programme. What do you make of the Archbishop's comments?
I think I'm in the